The following sermon is called The Cry of Sodom Inquired Into, 1674. This is a well-known execution sermon from 17th century Massachusetts, delivered on the occasion of the sentencing to death of a young man convicted of bestiality, specifically of copulation with a mare, and which was discovered in the open in broad daylight. Samuel Danforth, who wrote and delivered the sermon, would have known the condemned young man very well. Benjamin Goad had been born into Danforth's congregation at Roxbury and had grown up under his pastoral care. Samuel Danforth was also familiar with the anguish of a parent over the death of a child. Having suffered the death of 8 of his own children, he would himself be dead within a year. This discourse describes the various practices associated with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, including whoredom, adultery, fornication, self-pollution, incest, sodomy, buggery, and bestiality. And his text is replete with biblical examples. He defends a sentence of death as necessary for the preservation of the church and society. He applies the example made of the condemned to the need for general reformation among all the spectators who share in man's fallen and immoral nature. This is for historical purposes only. No judgment whatsoever is hinted at in this narration of an agreement with the capital punishment that was employed in this case. To the Christian reader, it is a solemn expression of the kingly prophet, the sweet singer of Israel, "Thy judgments, O Lord, are a great deep." Too great a deep to be fathomed without the help of scripture direction. Had not the Most High condescended to give us poor silly worms a comment of His Word upon the more abstruse and less discernible passages of His works, how hard it had been for us to have found out and understood the true sense and meaning of many of His darker dispensations. Amongst many other, this might have been looked at as astonishingly strange, that the worst of sins should be perpetrated in some, the best of places and societies, that enormities, not so much as named among the Gentiles, should be found among Christians. Had not the oracles of God unfolded and laid open the mystery of such otherwise inscrutable secrets of His profound providence? It was in the sanctuary that the distressed psalmist saw a plain and easy way out of the perplexing intricacies of those sad temptations in which he had been so far bewildered and well nigh lost. Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. By scripture light in the aforementioned case, we may easily discern not only that it is, but how it comes to pass, and be informed that the holy and blessed God is never more gloriously just than when most dreadfully severe against such as despise and will not obey His gospel. No judgments are more direful and to be dreaded than spiritual, nor are any near such than they who have and improve not, but set light by and abuse the gospel and grace of our Lord Jesus. The ground often rained upon, which yet brings forth nothing but thorns and briars, is rejected and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. Hebrews 6, verses 7 and 8. It was thus of old. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsel. Psalm 81, verses 10 to 12. How unquestionably righteous the Holy God is in such severity against His own people will be abundantly evident to all who shall consider how tremendous His dealings have been with poor ignorant heathen. Is such who have had and abused but that glimmering starlight, which to weak eyes so dimly shines from the works of creation and providence, have been so terribly treated, that as the apostle expresses in Romans 1 verse 18 to the end of the chapter, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who imprison the truth and unrighteousness, so that because when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, He gave them up to uncleanness, to filthy practices,
to vile affections, and at last to a reprobate mind. Of how much sore punishment shall they be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, continuing to sin under and against a far more glorious light than ever the heathen had. An awful and not to be forgotten instance of this, so formidably solemn a truce, was a sad occasion to our reverend brother, the pious and judicious author of the ensuing discourse, to lift up his voice like a trumpet. His eminent faithfulness in so doing we cannot but approve. It is surely no season for watchmen to be silent, when heaven-daring sins are calling aloud for vengeance. We willingly commend it to the press and serious perusal of all into whose hands it may come, heartily praying it may, by a blessing from above, become successful to all the good intended and hoped for in making it thus public, end quote. John Sherman, Urian Oakes, Thomas Shepard. The cry of Sodom inquired into, Genesis 18, verses 20 to 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Behold the solemn inquisition which the Lord made concerning the abominable filthiness of the Sodomites, which cried unto heaven for vengeance, and the description in which, observe, one, the fearful aggravation of their wickedness. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. Sodom and Gomorrah were ancient cities in the land of Canaan, situated in the valley of Siddim, bordering upon the tribe of Judah. There were two other cities which perished with them, Admah and Zeboim, Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. But Sodom and Gomorrah are only named in my text because as they were the most notable and famous for estate and greatness, so they were the most notorious and infamous for sin and lewdness. Sodom and her daughters, Ezekiel 16, verse 46. The sins of Sodom were many and great, but that which was the most grievous of all was their abominable filthiness and all manner of uncleanness. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me, Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50. This, their wickedness, cried to heaven for vengeance, a figurative expression, holding forth the heinousness and notoriousness of their sin and wickedness, and made a clamorous noise in the ears of the Lord, so that he could not rest nor be quiet in heaven by reason of the horrid cry of their horrible lewdness, which sounded continually in his ears. Number two, the assertion and vindication of divine justice and equity in the judicial process against them. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. These words are spoken after the manner of men, but are to be understood after the manner of God. Local dissension is not compatible to the omnipresent, nor external information to the omniscient. The Lord is everywhere present and is not capable of any local motion. Nevertheless, he is said to go down in respect to the visible form and manner in which he revealed himself at this time, appearing in the shape and likeness of a man. The Lord sees the most secret wickedness and knows our thoughts afar off, Psalm 139, verse 2, and needs not to make any search or inquiry. Nevertheless, that he might clear up the equity of his tremendous dispensation towards Sodom, and set an example to civil judges to take exact cognizance of the cause, and after accurate examination to proceed to sentence and judgment, He condescends after the manner of men to make proof and trial of the truth and weight of that horrid cry which came up to heaven against the filthy Sodomites. I will see whether they have done altogether, whether they have made a full end, whether they have finished their sin and filled up the measure of their iniquity, and if they have, I will proceed to execute vengeance upon them. Thus Abraham understood the Lord's expression, as appears by his intercession, "Wilt thou also destroy," and so on, verse 23. Doctrine. Abominable filthiness and uncleanness is a crying sin, and grievous wickedness in the account of God, for which he makes diligent inquisition and executes dreadful vengeance. The Sodomites were extremely wicked, prodigiously unclean, monstrously profuse in all manner of lechery, obscenity, and lasciviousness. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, Genesis 13, verse 13. Therefore the Lord visited them with the sword, and brought them into servitude and bondage to their enemies, to whom they continued in subjection 12 years, Genesis 14, verses 1 to 4. During this time, righteous Lot, coming and dwelling amongst them, bore witness against their unclean and impious conversation, 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. But these shameless miscreants, instead of being better either by affliction or admonition, grew far worse, and added perfidiousness and rebellion to the rest of their wickedness. Therefore the Lord whetted the sword against them the second time, overthrew their armies, sent the people into captivity, and their goods became a prey to their enemies. Nevertheless, through wonderful patience of God, they were rescued by the hand of Abraham for Lot's sake, and the Lord spared them yet 15 years longer. But instead of being gained or reclaimed by this, they increased and multiplied their wickedness, and filled up the measure of their sin, growing so impudent and outrageous in their villainy and lewdness, that the cry of it went up to heaven, and the Lord himself came down in the likeness and similitude of a man, accompanied with two of his holy angels, to make search and diligent inquisition concerning their clamorous and crying wickedness, and upon trial found it to be most prodigious. Witness their beastly incivility and rage against those heavenly guests, the two holy angels who lodged in the house of righteous Lot. Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. Wherefore the Lord destroyed them with fire and brimstone from heaven, verses 24 and 25, and turned the whole country into a standing, stinking lake. Now that no man may plead ignorance, nor be able to say, another day, that the ministry did not acquaint them with the nature and heinousness of this transgression, let us with holy modesty in the fear of God inquire question 1. What is that abominable uncleanness which cries in the ears of the Lord of hosts and hastens divine vengeance? Answer. It is expressed by and comprehended under these two terms: fornication and going after strange flesh, Jude 7. Fornication, being taken in a large sense, comprehends not only whoredom and self-pollution, but also adultery, Matthew 5:32, and incest, 1 Corinthians 5:1. Going after strange flesh comprehends sodomy and bestiality. These are the several sorts of abominable uncleannesses which cry for vengeance. 1. Self-pollution. When a man practices uncleanness and commits filthiness with his own body alone. This is the sin of Onan, the second son of Judah, who out of envy and malignity against his deceased brother, lest he should raise up seed to him, abhorred the lawful use of the marriage bed and most impurely defiled himself, which act of his was so detestable in the sight of God that he slew him by his immediate hand and allowed not such a villain to live upon the face of the earth. Genesis 38, verses 9 and 10. Seducers are called filthy dreamers that defile the flesh, Jude 8. Some learned interpreters understand it properly if they're defiling their bodies by nocturnal pollutions. This is a hateful and an odious sin, and usually the fruit and punishment of impure thoughts and fancies in the daytime. It seems that these impostors were so addicted to lasciviousness, as our English annotators observe, that they did not only practice it being awake, but also dreamed of it, and defiled themselves in their sleep. Yea, the truth is, their spiritual dreams, which I think are properly intended, their erroneous and heretical opinions were unclean speculations, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, into profuseness and luxury and uncleanness, and issued in all manner of carnal pollutions.
Number 2, whoredom, despoiling of a single woman. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Leviticus 19, verse 29. This you know, no whoremonger nor unclean person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5, 5. Number 3, adultery, the violating of the marriage bed. This is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is the fire that consumes to destruction. Job 31, verses 11 and 12. The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20, verse 10. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, Hebrew 13, verse 4. Number 4, incest, uncleanness committed by parties that are near of kin, between whom there is consanguinity or affinity, within the degree prohibited by the law of God. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord, Leviticus 18, verse 6. This is a sin of Reuben, for which he was degraded from his dignity and deprived of his birthright. Genesis 49, verse 4, 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1. Ammon and Absalom and Herod the Tetrarch were themselves infamous by this kind of wickedness. The Corinthians were required by the apostle to deliver the incestuous person to Satan. 1 Corinthians 5, 4. 5. Sodomy, filthiness committed between parties of the same sex, when males with males and females with females work wickedness. If a man lies with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Leviticus 20, verse 13. The sin raged among the Sodomites, and to their perpetual infamy it is called sodomy. Against this wickedness no indignation is sufficient. The Athenians put such to death. Theodosius and Arcadius adjudged such to be burnt. Among the Romans it was lawful for a man to kill him who had made such an assault upon him. Number 6, bestiality or buggery, when any prostitute themselves to a beast. This is an accursed thing. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen. Deuteronomy 27, verse 21. This is monstrous and horrible confusion. It turns a man into a brute beast. He who joins himself to a beast is one flesh with a beast. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Leviticus 18, verse 23. This horrid wickedness pollutes the very beast and makes it more unclean and beastly than it was, and unworthy to live among beasts. And therefore the Lord, to show his detestation of such villainy, has appointed the beast itself to be slain. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach to any beast and lie down thereto, those shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Leviticus 20, verses 15 and 16. All these abominations reigned among the ancient inhabitants of Canaan, and caused their land to vomit them out. Leviticus 18, verses 24 and 25. But the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were the most notorious therein, for they were all of them, both young and old, addicted to such lewdness,
and went through all sorts of uncleanness, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and attained to a prodigious height and hellish perfection therein, and therefore set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude 7. Question number 2. Why is carnal uncleanness said to be a crying sin and grievous wickedness, for which God makes diligent inquisition and executes dreadful vengeance? Reason 1. Because the sin of uncleanness is a bold and presumptuous violation of the holy law and blessed commandment of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5. Defile not you yourselves in any of these things. You shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Leviticus 18, verses 24, 26, and 30. Lewd and filthy persons thwart and cross the sacred and sovereign will of God, preferring their base lusts and the satisfaction of them before God's royal commandment and obedience to it. Reason 2, because the sin of uncleanness is the most polluting and defiling sin. It is most opposite to holiness and is properly called uncleanness, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. It pollutes a man's person. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, and so on. These are the things which defile a man, Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20.
It pollutes the body and turns the temple of the Holy Ghost into a hog's sty and a dog's kennel. He that commits fornication sins against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 19. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Such as wallow in the lust of uncleanness are dogs and swine. The dog has turned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2, verse 22. When Abner was charged with defiling Ritzpah, he answers, "Am I a dog's head?" 2 Samuel 3, verse 8. The hire of a whore and the price of a dog are put together. Deuteronomy 23, verse 18. They are near of kin, even let them go together. It pollutes the noble faculties of the soul, the mind, and the conscience. It blinds the mind, darkens the understanding, extinguishes the light of nature, and of common grace, and makes a man a fool, as Tamar said to Amnon. Thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel, 2 Samuel 13, verse 13. Solomon tells us that a young wanton is a simple man and void of understanding, and goes after the strange woman as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Proverbs 7, verse 7 and 22. This sin besots and infatuates the heart, estranges it from God, and breeds a hatred and loathing of piety and honesty. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart, Hosea 4, verse 11. The impure Gentiles who gave themselves over to lasciviousness were alienated from the life of God, Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 19. Seducers which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, 2 Timothy 3, verse 6, are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 8. This sin makes men haughty and scornful, so that they mock at counsels and warnings, and are enraged against wholesome admonitions. The men of Sodom said to Lot, "Stand back. This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." Now, we will deal worse with thee than with them, Genesis 19:9. Lot admonished his sons-in-law to get out of that place, because the Lord would destroy it. But he seemed to them as one that mocked, verse 14. This sin pollutes a man's speech and makes his communication rotten and unsavory, Ephesians 4, verse 29. It pollutes a man's course and conversation. It makes it filthy and loathsome, 2 Peter 2, verse 7. It pollutes a man's name and makes it stink. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Proverbs 6, verse 33. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? 2 Samuel 13, verse 13. The unclean person is burnt in the hand and branded on the forehead. Repentance itself cannot so thoroughly heal this wound, but some scar will remain in this world. This is evident in the history of Samson, David, and Solomon. The sin pollutes the company with whom such converse. There are spots and blemishes in Christian society, 2 Peter 2, verse 13. Yea, it pollutes and defiles the land where it is committed and causes it to spew out its inhabitants. The earth groans under the burden of such horrible enormities and would willingly empty and cast up its gorge. Yea, the Lord visits the land with sword, famine, and pestilence for such abominations, Leviticus 18, verses 25 and 27. Reason 3. Because the sin of uncleanness is most dishonorable and reproachful to the name of God. Thou that sayest a man shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that make your boast of the law through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Romans 2, verses 22 to 24. What greater disgrace or infamy can be cast upon the grace of God than to turn it into lasciviousness? What a reproach is this that the sons of God are become fleshly, carnal, sensual, debauched, that the members of Christ are made the members of a harlot, yea, the members of a beast, that the temple of the Holy Ghost has become a stew and brothel house, yea, a cage of unclean birds, yea, a very hogsty. What horrid profaneness, what hellish sacrilege is this? Reason 4, because the sin of uncleanness is most offensive and displeasing to the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because he is also flesh, Genesis 6, verse 3. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 6. Corrupt communication grieves the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4, verses 29 and 30. They who are sensual are destitute of the Spirit, Jude 19. The stinking lake of Sodom is not so unsavory and loathsome to the traveler that passes by as a lewd and filthy person is to the most holy God. Such are the abhorred of the Lord, Proverbs 22, verse 14. Reason 5, because the sin of uncleanness provokes God to indignation and augments his fierce wrath against vile sinners. Shall I not visit for thee things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this, Jeremiah 5, 9. Because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, Ephesians 5, 6. Where do the guests of the strange woman lodge? In such a tavern? Or ordinary, nay, they lodge in the depth of hell. Proverbs 9, verse 18. Fornicators, adulterers, unclean and effeminate persons, and abusers of themselves with mankind, have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, but are shut out among the dogs and cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verse 8. Application of instruction. This may serve to vindicate the holy name of God and clear his throne and his dreadful severity towards his vile and wicked youth, and making him a pattern and monument of his fierce wrath and indignation. It may be some among us stand astonished and amazed at this fearful and tremendous hand of God, and making such a youth a child of religious parents, and that in its tender years such a dreadful example of divine vengeance. I pray consider the heinous and atrocious nature of his sin and transgression. It is a crying sin. It makes a clamorous noise in the ears of the holy God. It will not suffer God to rest in heaven. It does not only trouble our Israel, but it troubles and disquiets the God of Israel. This sin is exceeding grievous in the sight of God. It is an abomination. It is confusion.
defiles the land. The earth groans under the burden of such wickedness. You pity his youth and tender years, but I pray pity the holy law of God, which is shamefully violated. Pity the glorious name of God, which is horribly profaned. Pity the land which is fearfully polluted and defiled. Secondly, consider the equity of God's severe dispensation towards this vile youth. The Lord has proceeded slowly and leisurely, and has endured this wicked youth with much long suffering until his sin grew to this prodigious height, and cried for vengeance. For as he himself confesses, he lived in disobedience to his parents, in lying, stealing, Sabbath breaking, and was wont to flee away from catechism. He would not hearken to the voice of God, and therefore he gave him up to his own heart's lust. He was extremely addicted to sloth and idleness, which is a great breeder and cherisher of uncleanness. The standing pool gathers filth and harbors toads and filthy vermin. Lust is usually warm and stirring in idle bosoms. He gave himself to self-pollution and other sodomitical wickedness. He often attempted buggery with several beasts before God left him to commit it. At last God gave him over to it, and he continued in the frequent practice for several months, being at length by the good hand of God brought under the yoke of government and service, which might have bridled and restrained him from such wickedness. He violently broke away from his master, and with a high hand boldly and impudently, like a child of Belial, shook off that yoke of God, casting reproach and disgrace upon his master. Having now obtained a licentious liberty, he grew so impudent in his wickedness as to commit this horrid villainy in the sight of the sun and in the open field, even at noonday, proclaiming his sin like Sodom. Though he be a youth in respect of years, yet he has grown old in wickedness and ripe for vengeance. The church cannot be cleansed until this wicked person be put away from among us. Ishmael stood in the same relation to the church of God, was younger in years, yet being convicted of a heinous transgression, though far inferior to this before us, was cast out, and that according to the commandment of God, Genesis 21. Verses 9 to 12. If we will not pronounce such a villain accursed, we must be content to bear the curse ourselves. The land cannot be cleansed until it has spewed out this unclean beast. The execution of justice upon such a notorious malefactor is the only way to turn away the wrath of God from us and to consecrate ourselves to the Lord and obtain his blessing upon us. Hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Numbers 25, verse 4. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Exodus 32, verse 29. Application 2 of exhortation to us all. To sanctify the name of God in this tremendous dispensation, and making such an one among us a sign and an example of vengeance. When Nadab and Abihu were burnt with fire for offering strange fire before the Lord, Moses said to Aaron, "This is that which the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified." Leviticus 10, verse 3. This is a right interpretation and true improvement of such a signal and judicious strokes. To sanctify the name of God according to his word, and give him the honor and glory due to his name. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his hands. Psalm 9, verse 16. This is a deep meditation. Let us look upon the sad and woeful example with diligent observation. Let it sink down into our hearts. Ponder and weigh it in the causes, circumstances, and aggravations of it. Let our thoughts dwell upon this lasting monument of divine wrath. Content we not ourselves with transient thoughts, In contemplating such a permanent sign and example of vengeance, lest God lose of that honor and glory which he expects from us, and we fail of that spiritual fruit which we might and ought to reap by it.